Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our National Business Solutions training call. This morning is Monday, May 13th, 2019. This is Mike Riches hosting the call here from the Dallas, Texas area. We have got folks joining. I'm just looking at our roster here. We've got folks from all over North America, from the West Coast to the East Coast, from the North up in Canada, down here to the south, and we are very excited to welcome you this morning. We have got a phenomenal call lined up. We are joined by none other than Market General Manager for Legal Shield Corporate, Mr. Fred Turner, who's going to be speaking to us in just a minute. We are so excited to hear from him. We've got my very own brother, $700,000 ringer, Mr. Mark Riches, joining us as well. We're excited to hear from him. And I just want to start the call by sharing a couple quick announcements, some things that that ought to be on your radar. We've been having a lot of success this month. We told you a couple weeks ago one of the commitments we were making for, or one of the things that we wanted to do for the month of May was to host a virtual business briefing, specifically recruiting into the B2B side of our business. And so we've done that the last couple of Thursdays. Several of you have taken advantage of that. That's a good opportunity just to listen in yourself. And just, again, anytime that you can hear that information, I think that that's helpful. And it's also a great opportunity, and what it's really designed for is to invite guests. So to think about, I want you to think about, you know, anybody that you've got, anybody that you know that you think, man, they would be really good at what we do, that's a perfect opportunity to invite them to a professional 30-minute overview that's talking about the business solution side of our business. And this week we've got none other than Mr. Mark Riches, again, a gentleman who built his business based on the business solutions space, and he's going to be speaking to us this Thursday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Watch your Facebook. Watch the Facebook page, watch the events page, and just, again, the link will be on there. You can pre-register for that. You can send that link out to your prospects as well, and they can join. That will be a live webinar this Thursday at 10 a.m. Again, we've got so many exciting things happening right now in the world of Legal Shield Business Solutions. We've got incredible events that are coming up that we're very excited for. I know that they're working on some fantastic training for the Salt Lake City event coming up this fall. We've got new training, new developments, a lot of things happening in that world. And again, we are so privileged this morning to be joined by the Market General Manager for the entire western half of North America, Mr. Fred Turner. Mr. Fred Turner has been here for several years now, and I got to tell you, he is an exceptional leader. I've had the privilege of working with Fred because he and I live in the Dallas area, so we've been able to work together on several projects. And this is a gentleman that gets it. I mean, he really understands where we are right now in the business solution space. He understands the opportunity at hand, and he is exceptionally supportive of you and me in the field. I mean, what we do, that's his specialty. He gets it. He understands what we're trying to do. He understands what we're trying to put together. He understands employee benefit sales. He understands small business. Like, he just gets the whole picture. And I'm telling you, really, with my heart this morning, I've worked with a lot of folks, and I don't know that I've ever worked with someone who's more supportive of the field. And we are just really grateful for his leadership. And again, excited to hear from him this morning on the call. Fred, thank you for joining us, and we'll turn the call over to you, my friend.
Absolutely, Mike. I appreciate that. And again, really what I wanted to do today, and I want to thank you first, Mike and team, for just allowing me to be on this call, just to have the ability to, kind of expand the reach on to let our associates know exactly what my position entails. As working as the MGM. So kind of to Mike's point, what I do is I currently cover about half of the United States, and so that's pretty much everything west of the Mississippi River. And what I truly do in my position is really what we're here for, myself and my counterpart, Brandon Clark. Those of you on the east may have heard or seen some emails from him. is what we are entitled, or what we try to do, is be a liaison for the associates in the field, right? Kind of being a sounding board on certain situations, challenges that you may be having in the field. We want to convey that to the home office, and then also it also works in reverse. Any type of communications that are coming from the home office, we try to disseminate out to that out to the field as soon as we possibly can. So one of the biggest things that we have right now, kind of like the migration challenges, what's going on, you know, what's happened there. And so if you have an MGM or if you have an MGM in your area, please reach out to them. They'll be able to direct you into the right direction, so where you can figure out exactly, you know, which of your actual accounts have actually migrated and which haven't. So again, that's myself, Fred Turner, then also Brandon Clark in the West. I mean, excuse me, in the East. And then along with, you know, kind of working with those challenges, something that we also do is helping develop recruiting tools for the B2B channel. A few of you, if you've tuned into the group Scoop, you've seen those new videos that we've posted. And so what we're trying to do now is create something a little more in-depth to help recruit, you know, kind of really help some of that first beginning talk, you know, that kind of awkward talk. It's not really necessarily awkward, but, you know, it's a tool to help ease along that process to say, hey, you know, I'm working with Legal Shield. I think this might be something of interest for you. And so why don't you check out this video, similar to the tools that they already have on the networking side, but building that more for the professional seller. That's something that we're working on right now. Also, we've been helping develop the 401 courses. You've seen that, the new level one. And also the 402, we're going to enhance that course here shortly, hopefully to have that out, released out here in June. And to that point, June is also going to be the start and the kickoff of our new summer school training series. And one thing that I've noticed since I've been here, more classes that you go to, and I've been to a lot, and so I've been here for about, 3 years now, and so I've been to a lot of different classes, and one of the things that I'm tasked with is kind of assessing the trainers to see, you know, how good the trainer is. Are they connecting to the field? And one thing that I could say is that we have a dynamic group of trainers that are spread throughout the United States. And so the idea during the summer training is to take a trainer that's normally, let's say, like Mike Richards, that's in the Dallas, Texas, and let's get him out, you know, to a Seattle. Let's get him out to a Florida so he can continue to spread that good word, spread the knowledge, and drop those pieces, those nuggets of information throughout the United States, right, into that entire task force, the associate force that we do have. And so that's kind of the idea of that spring training. And what I would like to ask everyone that's on this call, if you have an opportunity to see a trainer that you've never seen before, come to your town in a level 401, whether it's a 401 class, which is the basics, or a 402 class, which is the actual certification class, I would strongly recommend that you attend the class. One thing that I'm starting to get now since I've been here for, again, about 3 years, I get associates asking me, Fred, what can I do to be successful? I know you're sitting back. I know you're looking at the numbers. And what do the top performers all do? You know, how do I get myself to that 50K ring? How do I get myself to that 50 to the 100K ring? And so on and so on. And I said, one thing that I've noticed that all of the top performers do, they are constantly students of their business. And what I mean by that is that when they have an opportunity to see somebody new come into their marketplace, no matter where they are in the business, no matter how much success that they've had in their business, they continue to remain students, almost relentlessly, tirelessly, growing, educating themselves, getting nuggets of information. Let's say getting nuggets of information from a Mike Richards, from a Brian Parker, from an Alistair Edwards, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. No matter where they are in their business, they constantly come out to support and see their peers and just really pick their brains. That is the best way you grow your business. And not only by attending those classes and taking notes, but actually applying what you learned from those classes to your day-to-day business. It is absolutely phenomenal because you just never know when that light is going to go off. because people, we all have different philosophies in the way that we work our business, and so it just behooves and benefits each and every person to go see whatever trainer that they have that's going to come to their area. I strongly suggest that you go see it because it's a powerful thing, and it could impact your business in a dynamic way. This guest trainer series will start on June 16th, and so there will be some announcements that are going to be coming out here relatively quickly about the trainers that have come to your area. And so if you don't have a trainer that's coming to your area, if you haven't heard anything about it as of yet, I would suggest that you reach out to that trainer, that certification trainer that's in your marketplace and say, you know what, I think this would be beneficial if we can request somebody to come in and do a training here as well. Your trainers will know about this series, and so I would just say raise your hand and send in your request. With that being said, the guest trainer series, that's one of the things that we've been working on. And then the last thing that I've been working on here with Mike Riches is actually an online certification course as well that we're going to release out to the field. It's kind of in the infancy stages. We're going to pilot this here pretty soon. We've already done it in Alaska. But what this online certification course is really for, you know, our associates that, you know, live somewhere 150 miles outside of a regular certification training. It's kind of hard to get to those training. And so what we're trying to figure out is how can we help out those folks who need the training, who crave the training, who really want it, but kind of live outside of a, you know, not necessarily a major market, or there isn't a training close to them. And so that's what we're trying to figure out, because we want to make sure that you are successful in your business. I mean, to be honest with you, my position as an MGM is to make sure that you're successful. If you're not successful, ultimately I'm not successful and I'm failing you. And I just promise you, I do not like to fail. So any questions, comments, and concerns or challenges or some great things, some suggestions, some recommendations that you have, please, please, please reach out to your MGM. We're here to help you. We also have a team of area coordinators, and we also work with trainer support as well. And all we want to do is see you grow your business and be successful in whatever success looks like in your business. And with that, I'll wrap it up.
Well, Mr. Turner, thank you very, very much for sharing that. You know, I can certainly feel, I can speak for our team here this morning and tell you that we feel your sincerity and your authenticity. I know that you mean exactly what you say, and we certainly appreciate that about you. And really, again, just appreciate your support and just the incredible help that you give our Business Solutions associates. And again, thank you for your leadership and for all these things that you're working on. I know there's a ton of projects that you've got your hands in right now, and it's exciting. It's exciting to be able to take some of these things to the next level as far as training goes, and certainly the recruiting aspect of what you talked about as well. And we're thrilled to be able to see these kinds of developments. And really, thank you again for all that you do and for all your support.
Absolutely, Mike. Thank you for having me on the call today.
Absolutely, my friend. Let's take the call up to Cookeville, Tennessee. We are joined by, again, $700,000 ringer, Platinum World Council member, Mr. Mark Riches. Mark, I know you're excited. We're starting out a fantastic week and kind of getting into the middle of the month here of May. We'd love to hear your thoughts as it relates to taking advantage of this time.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the call, everyone. Thank you again to Mr. Fred Turner. Fantastic job, and we appreciate your leadership and all that you do to help us grow our businesses. And I hope you heard that in Fred's training this morning. You know, they're very committed to our success. So you've got an entire network and team of professional people behind the scenes, clearing the path, providing better training, providding better marketing materials. You know, it's just gotten better and better and better. I mean, it's just really, really exciting where we are. And no wonder sales are up and opening new groups are up, and we're doing a great job at that. And I just want to, first of all, thank him for joining us on the call and appreciate what you shared this morning, Fred. I spoke last week on the call, and I know Mike's got a little training lined up for us as well, but I just wanted to talk for a minute as we are in the middle of the month, and really this, what I'm going to talk about applies to any time, and it's about prospecting. You know, we have a five-step system: obtaining qualified leads, And that's what I want to talk about. And then step two is prospecting companies, going out and talking to them. And then step three, the decision-maker meetings. Step four is enrolling the employees. That's the fun part. When we talk about business solutions, that's what we always think about. Yeah, I'd love to get in front of 100 employees, you know, and write 75 of them a membership and make, you know, $10,000. Yeah, everyone likes that. But there's three steps ahead of that that helps you get to that point. And then step five, which we added, you know, several years ago, is retention and servicing groups, which is such a critical part of the whole system and whole process. But I'll just take a few minutes, 5 minutes, talk about obtaining qualified leads. I was having a conversation with Nick Bartolo out of Florida, I think on Friday, and he was talking about prospecting. I think he had set up 4 decision-maker meetings this week already, and he was trying to he asked a question about how do I the word's not juggle, but how do I coordinate my schedule, you know? And I told him the priority is always enrollments. If you've got enrollments, that's what you should be doing, and obviously decision-maker meetings. But prospecting is such an important part of the whole mix, and so a mistake a lot of people make is they do an enrollment, okay, and they make some money, and then they take time off right then. Well, that's the best time to prospect. When you've just got a check for $4,000 or $5,000 from LegalShield, to me, that's when I used to get on the phone and make the most calls because I was the most excited. If I got a $10,000 check, I wanted to prospect that day. And so keep that in mind. Prospecting's really a constant part of it. Let's talk about it just a minute. You know, always be adding prospects to your pipeline. Always be looking for companies and businesses that you can add to your pipeline. You know, if you go to a decision-maker meeting and then drive back home from that decision-maker meeting and you don't have 5 or 6 or 10 new companies added to your prospect list, you're off track. Okay, you're just managing your windshield on your way to a decision-maker meeting and on your way back. So think about ways that you can do that. One is in traffic when you're stopped at a stoplight and a truck pulls up beside you and that truck has a company name on it. I always love that because you know they have at least one employee and you know they're in business. I mean, think about all the companies we call and they're out of business. This one's in business because they've got a truck. Now, that might be the owner driving the truck, but we don't know that. But right there, I've stopped writing things down. I just take my phone and take a picture of it. And I got a picture of that phone number and the company name. And that's a very quick way. And, in fact, I like red lights now. I like getting stopped at a red light. I'm like, yes, I can get a prospect at this light. See, some people are like, oh, man, I just hit another red light. That should be your greatest moment of the day because someone's going to pull up beside you. And you can take a picture of that vehicle, and there's thousands. I sat on a corner, a busy intersection in Salt Lake City once field training, and in probably a half hour we picked up 50 company names. Just sitting there taking pictures and writing down contact information off vehicles. You can also go, let's say you're driving and you go to there's a heating and air supplier. So not a company, but someone or electrical supplier. There's these wholesale plumbing and electrical suppliers and heating and air. They're the companies that sell equipment and units to the heating and air company. Just pull in there, and there you go. There's 12 trucks lined up there, all 12 different businesses. Of course, with the high tech, you've got your online systems, yellowpages.com and Manta, and all the incredible research. Google, you could just Google company names that way. When you get out of the decision-maker meeting, don't just go to your car. There is no prospect ever waiting in your car, but look around at other companies right there across the hall, or if it's in an office building downstairs or next door, and go to the left and go to the right and go talk to those companies. And what I really like about that is you can say, I just met with ABC Company, or I just met with Joanne at ABC Company. And then, you know, because you're in the area, and we've got an enrollment scheduled, or they're looking over the benefit and wanted to at least make it available to you as well and talk to them. And so right there as you walk out of the decision-maker meeting, I always do a full circle and who else, what other companies in that area could I talk to? I was just one other quick story on prospecting. I was in Houston, Texas, field training Melanie Knabb, and we had gone to a little barbecue restaurant for lunch, and I went up to get a drink, and there was a guy at, getting a drink as well, and he had a shirt on with a, as a fertilizer company. And I asked him, I said, is that the company you work for? He goes, yes, sir, it sure is. I said, is that company around here? So, again, I'm at lunch, but I'm in a prospecting mode. And he said, yeah, just a mile down the street. And so so I'm thinking a fertilizer company. I'm telling you, this was one of the sharpest-looking foyers of a company I've ever been to. And the, I walked in, and I'd ask him who the decision-maker is or who the HR director was, and he gave me that person's name. And so I was able to go in the front door with some posture, ask for that person's name. They, I was directed to the boardroom, beautiful wood cover, I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful boardroom. And I just did, again, just a long story short, this HR person came in, one of the kindest persons I've ever met. He loved the benefit, and they ended up fringing the legal plan benefit to all 130 of their employees, paying for the entire benefit. And again, just an example of opening your mouth and talking to someone at a lunch. So always be looking for people or for companies and businesses that you can add to your pipeline. One other thought is as you meet people. Sometimes we've got the mind that we're looking for companies and businesses, but as you meet people, most of those people work at a company. And if we're in the business solutions, you know, prospecting mode, find out what company they work for, just like I did with this gentleman, and find out who the HR person is. You can qualify the company right there. Last thing I just want to mention is qualifying. So, you know, and again, all of this material is in our back office. You can go through it in detail. But always be filling that pipeline. Set a daily goal. That's what I told Nick. I said, set a daily goal of how many new leads you're going to put in into your pipeline. One more thought on that is referrals. When you're doing that decision maker meeting or you're doing an enrollment, always be gathering referrals of other companies they know. Some of the largest groups I've written in my career with Legal Shield is from referrals of existing groups. So always be asking for referrals, and that's another great way to prospect. Qualifying the lead, so you take a picture of a truck. It's a linen company. Here's kind of some of the things you need to find out. And this doesn't have to be done in one call. You don't want to call the decision maker to ask these questions. You want to kind of go around and ask maybe the receptionist or that type of a thing, or Google it. You can look up the company and find a lot of it. But here's the three main sorters. Number one, how many employees do they have? And you just need to have that as a filter. It's something you can set personally. I always use 25. You know, if they had 25 or more employees, that's who I worked with. But, you know, some people set it at 10. Some people don't care. They can go all the way to the bottom. It doesn't matter. That's a personal thing. But you need to have a little idea of how many employees the company has. And you can, again, usually Google that, or it's on Manta. And you just need a ballpark figure. Number two, are the benefit decisions made locally? Meaning, if it's ABC Linen Company, are they a local company right here in Nashville, or are they based out of Chicago, and is this just a franchise, or not a franchise really, but a location of a main corporation? So the question is, where are the benefit decisions handled? And you can, again, ask by calling the receptionist and saying, hey, I'm trying to find out for your company, are you a local company right here in Nashville, or are you part of a larger organization? Something like that. And again, Googling it, you can see, hey, the corporate office is in Chicago. Typically, that's where those benefit decisions are going to be made. Doesn't mean you can't pursue it. Doesn't mean you can't send them a link to, you know, theperfectbenefit.com and share that opportunity with them. But you just want to know in your qualification process, are the decisions made locally or not? And you're really looking for companies you can get in front of where the decisions are made locally, and you can get in front of a decision maker. And then the third is, who is the decision maker? So who is the person at that company? It could be the owner, it could be the owner's wife, it could be a HR person, but who makes the decisions regarding employee benefits and their contact information, their phone number and their email? A lot of times when I'm asking for that, I say, I don't need to speak to this person, I just need to send them some information. But who handles the employee benefits for the company? Well, that's Sharon Wilson. And could I get Sharon's email address, please? And you know, usually they'll give that to you. If not, you got it. Just Google Sharon Wilson and the name of the company, ABC Linen, and usually it'll pop right up with their email address and phone number. So anyway, hopefully those tips are helpful. Always be prospecting. Always be looking for companies that you can add to your pipeline. A good goal is to add at least 25 to 50 a week. That's the key. Always be adding new companies to the front end. That'll really help you when you're doing your enrollments and doing your decision maker meetings, that your income does not ebb and flow, that your income doesn't go up. Like one week you're eating steak and the next week you're eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because you didn't keep prospecting. So always be prospecting, keeping your pipeline full. That'll keep your cash flow flowing. And I'm, again, looking forward to this Thursday at 10 a.m. Central Time doing a business overview, business solutions overview, where we spend about 30 minutes talking to your prospects about the opportunity to work with Legal Shield Business Solutions. I look forward to that. That's up on our events site now, so you can register for it. Thanks for having me on the call, Mike, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, thank you. Fantastic training there and information on just really, I love how you said having that prospecting mindset. That's really what it's about. I mean, I love how you said, so many times we walk out of a decision-maker meeting and we just walk right to our car, and there's no one waiting in our car to hear the message that we have to share. To get out and just keep that open mind. I'm a big fan on being focused and having kind of success blinders on, but when we're prospecting, that's not the time to have blinders on. When you're driving to a DM meeting, that's not the time to have blinders on. That's the time to be looking around and finding other companies that we could go out and meet with. And I agree with you that that's what our top producers do. I spent some time on Friday in our new Dallas studio here filming a segment for the Group Scoop that I think will be on the Group Scoop today. And I talked about kind of organizing our weekly schedule. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you today on the call, kind of in that regard. Now, you can watch the video, and I'm sure we'll put it in our back office as well for our team. But I think organizing our weekly schedule is important, and kind of having an idea. And what I was trying to do there is just break down what does a week really look like for a group producer. I mean, someone like many of you on the call that are out there working with different companies and a lot of prospects, how do you effectively manage that? How do you manage your time? And how do you do it in a way that it's not feast or famine, kind of like what Mark was just talking about, eating steak one week and PBJs the next week? Obviously, we want to avoid that. We want to have a constant influx of new groups coming into your business, into your pipeline. And so how do you manage that? And that was kind of the purpose of putting together that training on Friday. What it really boils down to, though, I think are two things. Number one, having an understanding of what you're really trying to do. And we talk about that a lot, folks. I know that that's not news to you. But the mindset of what we do is huge. Some of you have been around for a long time, and you understand exactly what you're trying to do every day. Some of you are maybe new, and you still understand. You get it. I mean, you totally understand the purpose and the mission of what we're really trying to accomplish here. That understanding doesn't really have to do with how long you've been in the business, because I know folks that have been in the business for years that still struggle with that, having the right mindset for success. And again, I know people who are brand new that just totally get it, that totally have the right mindset. But when you and I really understand what we're doing here, that we're building a business, that we're helping people. And when we have the right mindset and that kind of approach, I think it helps us develop the second attribute that I think is so crucial to this, and that is discipline. You know, business owners have to be disciplined. If they want a successful business, business owners have to be disciplined. Employees of a company don't always have to be super self-disciplined, because as an employee of a company, your company is going to kind of provide that discipline for you. I'll just give you, an elementary example. I remember my first, real job that I ever had. I was 16 years old, and I worked in a movie theater. And, it was actually a pretty cool job. I could go eat all the popcorn I wanted and drink all the soda I wanted and go to see free movies. So, for a 16-year-old, it wasn't a bad gig. But they set a schedule for me, and it's kind of funny because now my son, who's turning 16 this summer, he just got his first real job. He's working at an ice cream shop, which may actually be better than a movie theater. I haven't decided that yet. But he's getting his schedule, and he's kind of learning that, hey, when the schedule says you got to be here at 4 o'clock, you got to be here at 4 o'clock. And that's what I learned. I remember that in the movie theater. I couldn't show up at 4:05. If they said 4 o'clock is when I had to be there, I had to show up at 4 o'clock. Well, that wasn't really self-discipline. It was discipline that was kind of put on me by someone else, in this case, my boss. And it was still disciplined. I mean, I guess if I hadn't showed up on time, I would have been disciplined. So that's kind of where that discipline came from. It was more of an external discipline versus an internal discipline. Well, as a business owner, you really don't have that. One of the, I'll just kind of throw this out there, one of the training webinars that we're putting together is Mr. Jim Tanner. That'll be here in the next couple of weeks. I'm so excited. He's going to recap Robert Kiyosaki's fundamental principle that he teaches on the cash flow quadrant and kind of the differences of being a business owner, an employee, an investor, being self-employed. So I won't get into a ton of that. We're going to have the privilege of hearing Mr. Jim Tanner train on that shortly. But I just want to kind of make the point. There is a difference between the discipline that we have to have as a business owner and the discipline that we would have as an employee. And frankly, the advantages are different as well. When you're a business owner, you got a lot of advantages that an employee doesn't have. You can take time off when you want to. You can be much more in control of your schedule. You can work as hard as you want to. You can make as much money as you want to. Just think about that. Most people today in America do not have the ability to look at their income from the last 12 months and say, I'm going to double that income doing the same thing that I've done. I'm not going to change my position. I'm not going to change my career. I'm going to do the exact same thing that I've been doing, or at least the same type of work that I've been doing, but yet I'm going to double my income from the last 12 months to the next 12 months. And yet we have people in Legal Shield that do that every year. They double their income from the last year to this year. And they're doing the same, again, I don't want to say they're doing the same thing because they probably are doing different things, but it's the same line of work. They're doing the same type of work. They're not switching businesses. They're not switching careers. They're not switching companies, and yet they're doubling their income. Most people don't have that ability. As a business owner, you can do that. You can't really do that as an employee. As a business owner, you can develop passive income as well. It's one of the great financial blessings of my life to be able to have passive income come in, residual income on sales that I made years ago and on sales that my team has written. Again, sometimes that's years ago, 15, 16, 17 years ago, and I'm getting paid on that every day, passive income coming in. That's an enormous advantage. I mean, that's something most employees, that's something that a lot of business owners don't develop right off the bat either, is the residual side of what we do, or even passive income. I know a lot of business owners that don't have passive income, but our business allows us to have that. Here's another one, job security. I use the word job there. Obviously, we don't have a job, because job stands for just over broke, and I don't want a job. But we do have security in what we do. You know, it's something I know so many people, and I've met so many people who they had a job. They were working in, you know, maybe it was corporate America or whatever kind of job that they had, and they were doing a good job. They in many cases were receiving recognition, and yet because of downsizing, because of factors that were outside of their control, they found themselves laid off. They found themselves without a job. That pink slip, and it was depressing for them. It's a very emotionally difficult thing to deal with. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Many of you have probably been in that type of situation. I don't know if all of you have, but I'm sure many of you have had that happen to you where you did nothing wrong, but because of the company downsizing, because of whatever factors, again, that were out of your control, you ended up getting laid off. And your position was eliminated. And as a business owner, you don't have to worry about that. You have 100% control over the growth and development of your business. Now, some might argue that and say, well, no, the market has some control, right? Because depending on the market, yeah, but as a business owner, you can take responsibility for that. You can adapt with the market. We did, Legal Shield did, back in 2003. We had this legal plan that was working so well. We were selling the heck out of it. I mean, it was, things were going well. We were growing. The company was doing well. We were being featured in all these magazines and publications, one of the top companies in the New York Stock Exchange at that time. I mean, times were good. Times weren't dire back in 2003. And then the opportunity came to be able to market an identity theft plan. And our leadership, gratefully, at that time, didn't turn that idea away. They adapted with the times. They saw identity theft was becoming, at that point, was just starting to become a big problem. But they recognized the potential that it had to become a catastrophe. And today, every time you take the identity theft plan into a company, every time you sit down with a decision maker, and they're interested in speaking with you because you're offering the identity theft product. Today, we have that ability because some people back, 16 years ago, made the decision that they would offer that. Legal Shield would add that as a product line back in 2003. And we continue to adapt with the times. Our company does, our business does. Well, you and I, as business owners of our own personal business, we have to be able to adapt as well. Not just to changes in the market, we have to be able to adapt and develop personally. See, part of being a business owner, part of owning a business, is that you tend to get paid exactly what you're worth. That doesn't always happen as an employee. I know employees who are the top performers at their job, and they get paid exactly the same as other people. I know other employees who are not the top performers. In fact, they're at the bottom of the list, and they get paid the exact same amount as other people. Well, that's not how a business owner works. In a business, when you're a business owner, you get paid exactly what you're worth, and that can change over time. I mean, you've seen people that their personal market worth has decreased. You got technology today. There are machines that are doing jobs that people used to be paid $30,000 or $40,000 a year to do, and now a machine's doing it. So, your personal market worth can go up or down. Certainly in our business, I hope that our market worth is increasing every day. And this is, by the way, this is a foreign concept to most people. To most people, you go to school, you get a job, you get a degree, and that's your learning. Now, there are some businesses or some, I guess I would say, positions or some, you know, some lines of work out there that require that the individual continue to educate themselves. And so they have that continuing education, and you see that in medicine, you see that in insurance, you see that in real estate. There are different positions out there where that's required. But I'm telling you, most people, they do not get this principle that their market worth should be continually increasing. Their skill set today is the same as it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even more. Well, you and I, we can't have that. Not in our business. Not when we're paid what we're worth. Not when our income is determined by our personal market worth. We've got to continually be increasing our personal market worth. Jim Rohn talks about how personal development helps us to be able to do that. Well, I say all of that to say this. These advantages of owning a business are wonderful. They're great. I'm sitting here telling you today that I am so grateful that 17 years ago, my brother talked me into selling this legal plan. And I started doing that full-time about 17 years ago. I don't know if it's 17 years ago right now or next month, because I was also getting married and moving. And so, yeah, it was probably June that I actually really dived in and dove in and went full-time. But again, 17 years ago, right this time of year, is when I decided to go full-time. And I'm telling you, I'm grateful for that. I am so grateful for passive income. I am so grateful for residual income. I'm so grateful for a business that allows me to have time freedom and financial freedom and to continue to increase my income every year. Y'all, I am so phenomenally grateful for that. But you have to be disciplined in order to take advantages, to enjoy those advantages. And I should add, you have to be self-disciplined. Because a business owner, again, that discipline does not come from outside. It's not exterior. It's not going to come from someone else. I've got a great team of people. You know how many of those people I call every morning and say, hey, you better be working hard. You know, Brian Fahili is one of my top producers. I can tell you, I do not call Brian Fahili every morning and say, Brian, are you out the door? Are you working hard? Are you calling on companies today? What are you doing? How are you spending your time? I don't do that. And it's not just because Brian's seasoned and he's been around for a while. I don't do that with anybody. And I don't want to do it with anybody. And no one's going to do that for you. Now, you can create some accountability, and there are some, you can have a workout partner, but you're not going to have a boss in this business. You're not going to have someone that's going to call you every morning to make sure that you're doing what you ought to be doing. You're not going to have someone that's going to call you every night and say, hey, how many calls did you make today? How many decision makers did you get on the phone? Again, you know, you can create some accountability with people, but you don't have a boss in this business. And some of you are super grateful for that because your past experience with bosses has not been the most positive. To some of you, boss is just double SOB spelled backwards, and that's how it's going to stay forever. So you're grateful that you don't have a boss. But whether you like a boss or not, you don't have one, so it doesn't really matter. You are your own boss. And self-discipline, put simply, is just being a tough boss on yourself. It's not allowing ourselves to get sidetracked or defocused. It's forcing ourselves to engage in the right kind of activity with the right kind of attitude. That is what self-discipline and discipline in this business is really all about. And again, as you know, having that is when you can really start to see those advantages. I think about I've got two friends in mind right now. One of them owns a UPS store. The other one is my friend that works at that UPS store. She was looking for, you know, something that she could do during the day, and I made a referral, and my other friend who owns the UPS store hired her. Well, they are both good people, wonderful people. one of them has an entirely different set of advantages than the other. And it's and that's not saying anything against my friend that works as an employee there. She's not a bad person. She's a wonderful person, actually. And so, you know, nothing personal against her. But she will never, as an employee, enjoy the same advantages as my friend who owns a store, and that's all there is to it. And that's not, you know, that's not a foreign concept. I think we all get that. And so are you and I willing to be that business owner? Are you and I willing to have that discipline in place? And again, it goes back to kind of forcing ourselves or making ourselves do the things that we need to do. Well, being organized in your schedule is a part of that. You know, if you can kind of have an idea for your week, and I'll just give you an example. Before the call started today, I sat down and made out my, I call it a weekly planning list. And so for me, because I've got different kind of aspects of my business, I kind of separate this into different categories. So I've got my employee benefits category, for example, and so I'm thinking of groups that I'm working with. I'm thinking of businesses that I need to follow up with, and my weekly planning is different than my daily planning. My daily planning are kind of more to-do items. Like so, my daily planning is more of my action list. My weekly planning is typically more conceptual. So I'm looking at the entire week, and I'm thinking, okay, where should I really be spending my time this week? And so, for example, with my team, what do I need to be doing this week to be a better leader with my team, to help my team, to support my team? Where should I be spending my time? As it relates to our business, you know, our training and things like that, where should I be spending my time? Employee benefits, kind of where should I be spending my time? Where should I be prospecting? Where should I be, what decision-maker meetings do I have on my calendar for this week? So it's kind of more conceptual. I'm trying to get a little bit bigger picture with the week, but that's all part of kind of, again, that discipline. Discipline means that we take time to kind of structure it and to plan it. And then discipline also means that we take time to execute it as well. It's just one of those things, as I look at those who are successful in our business, and the great thing about Legal Shield, you've got a lot of case studies that you can look at. We've got a lot of people, and we got a lot of people just in our own team. You don't even have to go outside of our team. You got a lot of people that are ring earners in our team, at least $50,000 ring earners. We got a lot of people that are earning six figures as well, but if you just look at the $50,000 ringers and above, people that are earning, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 grand, 100 grand, 150 grand, 200 grand a year in the employee benefit space, and you look at all those people, you got people from all different kinds of backgrounds. You got people from all different kinds of education levels. You got people that look different, people who sound different. You got people from all different kinds of different geographical areas. You know, you got people that live in massive urban metropolitan areas. You got people like Brian Fahili that lives in the grand metropolis of Ringgold, Louisiana. You got the full spectrum. You got people from the north, people from the south, people with a Yankee accent, people with a Southern accent. You got people from the West Coast. You got people from the East Coast. You got people from the Midwest. I mean, you know, all over. You got people, again, I mentioned different backgrounds. You got people with sales experience. People who have never sold anything in their lives. And I'm not talking about just our whole spectrum of associates. I'm talking just the ring earners here. So you look at all that and you say, well, maybe all that stuff doesn't matter. Maybe when someone comes in and they have 30 years of sales experience, maybe that's not as important, because Ryan Fahili didn't have 30 years of sales experience. Mark Riches didn't have 30 years of sales experience, and yet they did pretty well. You know, maybe you look at, whether they live in a big town or not. Well, I got a lot of people that don't live in a big town. They're doing pretty well. Maybe you say, well, maybe they need to be, in an affluent area. I don't think so. I could point to a lot of people right now that do not live in an affluent metropolitan area. They're doing just fine. So what does matter? Well, I think you could point your finger at quite a few things, but it wouldn't have to do with the market. It would all have to do with them individually. And I really believe that at the root, you're going to find two things. You're going to find mindset, understanding the opportunity and understanding what they're really trying to accomplish, and discipline. Sure, activity, sure, personal development, but again, if you're not disciplined, you're not going to have activity. You're not going to engage in personal development. If you're not disciplined, you won't read 10 pages of a good book every day. If you're not disciplined, you won't go prospect. You'll find other stuff to do, but you won't go prospect. If you're not disciplined, you won't plug into events. If you're not disciplined, you won't get on a conference call. So that's why I say I would go back to those two things, mindset and discipline. But if you are disciplined, that's where you can really throw it into a higher gear. And so I would just challenge you to look at your business right now. If you're brand new, maybe you don't have a whole lot of experience to pull upon. But if you've been around for longer than 30 days, if you've been an associate for longer than 30 days, I would challenge you to look at your business. And discipline is not one of those things that you can, it's not tangible. You can't really, give yourself a score, but just scale of 1 to 10, if you were to estimate, where would you put yourself on discipline? How disciplined have you been in the last 30 days? You knew that you needed to go prospecting, but how did that actually go? Did you actually do the prospecting that you needed to do? You know that you've got to spend time following up, but how did that go in the last 30 days? You know that you need to, get in front of more decision makers, that you need to get in front of more groups of employees, but how did that really, and that's more result-based. I would, discipline, I would look at the activity, prospecting, getting your qualified leads, plugging into events, personal development, things that you have 100% control over. How did they go? And just scale of 1 to 10, I would recommend don't go back farther than 30 days because it doesn't really matter if you were disciplined in your former career or even if you've had some good times in Legal Shield where you were really disciplined. I'm just talking the last 30 days. What would you give yourself? Scale of 1 to 10. Would you say 3? Would you say 5? Would you say, I'm a solid 7, 7.5? Some of you might say, I'm 10. I'm 9.5, 10. I've been very disciplined. I don't know, and it doesn't, you don't have to tell me. It doesn't matter to me. It matters very much to you, though, if we're willing to improve that number. And so let's look at the next 30 days. And maybe not even go out 30 days. Let's just look at the month of May. Let's just look at this week, which starts with today. May 13th, 2019. And I want you to ask yourself a more important question. Regardless of what the last 30 days looks like, what is May 13th going to look like for you? And if you were to say at the end of today or at the end of this week, I give myself a 10, what would today look like? What would this week look like? If this were a 10 out of 10 discipline week or a 10 out of 10 disciplined day for you, what would that look like? And here's my challenge. Just go do it. Just make it happen. The great thing about discipline is you have full control over it. We don't always control everything in our business. We don't control what every decision maker says or thinks or what every employee group says or thinks. We don't control, the compensation plan. We don't control how the law firm's going to react. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't have full control over. This particular thing, which again, in my opinion, one of the two most fundamental aspects of our success, you got full control over. This one, you do control. And you can control it today. But if you were to, at the end of the day, say, you know what, today I was 10 out of 10. Man, I was fully self-disciplined. What would that look like? And I'm challenging you to go make today a 10 out of 10 discipline day. To go act today like you deserve to act, like exactly what it would be if today was a perfect discipline day. And you know, I got a lot of opinions on what that would look like for me. Like a, you know, 10 out of 10 day, I would not allow myself to get defocused. I'd have any distractions off. I certainly would not take time away from my business to go work on personal stuff. I wouldn't go grocery shopping in the middle of the day, or, you know, anything. I wouldn't be mowing my lawn in the middle. You know, I wouldn't do any of that. But those are kind of major distractions. I wouldn't even have CNN on in the background. I wouldn't have any Facebook or YouTube or any of that. I would be 110% focused. For me to give myself a 10 out of 10 score for discipline, there's a lot that I would not do and a lot that I would do. What does that look like for you? Well, you got to determine that. But my challenge again, make it a 10 out of 10 day, and then make tomorrow a 10 out of 10 day as well. You would be amazed at the results that you'll start getting if you and I could master this principle. And again, some of you, it's going to feel really, really good to get back to that kind of commitment, to that level of discipline that I know that you deserve to be at. And the results follow. And that's the beautiful thing about this, is the results will follow. The success follows. The freedom follows. And that's the beautiful thing, is all those things that you dream about are real. All those things that you hear about on the calls and in the briefings, they're real. But having the right mindset and being disciplined enough to execute, those are the keys that unlock that treasure chest. Again, I want to just thank all of you for joining this morning. I really do appreciate you plugging in. I want to express my appreciation again to Mr. Mark Riches for sharing his thoughts on getting qualified leads and prospecting and staying constantly in that prospecting mindset. And also to Mr. Fred Turner, our market general manager here in the West. We'll hopefully be able to hear from his counterpart, Brandon Clark, coming up here in the next few weeks as well. Both of those are incredible individuals and just, again, 100% dedicated to your success. Remember, Brandon Clark at LegalShieldCorp.com if you're east of the Mississippi, and Frederick, F-R-E-D-R-I-C-K, Turner, Frederick Turner at LegalShieldCorp.com if you're on the western half of the Mississippi. If you have anything that you'd like some extra support on, I know that both of them are very responsive, and we certainly do appreciate Fred being on the call this morning. God bless all of you. Thank you for plugging in this morning. Make it a great day, a 10 out of 10 day, and we'll talk to you very soon.